Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Off Script with Pastor Jared. Solo today with a topic that nobody asked for, but I thought it would be cool to look at together. And it's about your favorite artist and mine, Kanye West. Just kidding on that front. But you know who he is. Extremely popular media figure is Kanye West. And what I want to talk to today, the topic being relating to his, remember when Kanye converted to Christianity? Do you remember? What happened to that? What happened to Kanye's Christianity, his conversion? There was a time when he was the next big it thing in Christianity, in the church world, in media world. He was doing interviews on behalf of Christians. And I want to talk about that because I think it's time for a reflection. Because some time has gone by, and instead of just doing what the kids call memory holing this thing, or just pretending that it never happened and just moving on, I think we should look at it, because there was a lot of things being said at the time of his conversion from two very opposed camps. One side was rejoicing and saying, we ought to give this man the keys to the kingdom. How many people will come to Christ because Kanye West is in? And then you had the other side that was ready to discount it from the very beginning and saying, do you know what he said about God in the past? He's going to just use this for his fame. This is a publicity stunt. And then mostly a negative approach, not even really showing any excitement about it, and kind of a we'll see. Time will tell. We'll see. So what is the proper response for a Christian when someone converts to the faith, first of all, at all? And second of all, what about when it's a celebrity? What about when it's someone who has had a significant presence, and maybe they even made their living off of a secular or even vulgar way of life, and then they come to Christ? How do you think about that? And now it's been about between 4 years or so, maybe 4 to 5 years since Kanye West declared himself publicly a Christian. And so let's talk about that. That's what today's episode is going to be all about. So I want to walk you through. I know that every member of our church and every listener of this podcast intricately knows the Kanye West story. So I just for the handful of you here who don't know who that is, I know our seniors listen to him regularly. So if you are like, hey, I need a little bit bring me up to speed here. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. So Kanye West has made a career in the rap world. And really in the fashion world, in the clothing world, he's got a huge company. He's called himself a billionaire. Some have disputed that, but he is definitely a mega millionaire and maybe a billionaire. And he started really in the late 90s and the early 2000s with a rap career, and was very much in the appreciated category. Today, he's a bit more... people don't know what to make of him, but certainly in those days, he was very much considered the next big thing. College Dropout is his album that is the most popular, I would say, and he has had several huge singles in the 2000s that went really big. And then obviously, like I said, the shoe brand, the Yeezys, and from other products as well in fashion. But he has always had spiritual references even in his music. So even as he would have vulgar music, curse words and dirty topics and things like that, he would often sprinkle in spiritual references. In fact, one of his big hits was a song called Jesus Walks. And he never has shied away from those kind of things. But as much as you might say, oh, well, that's good, he has also always made comparisons to himself and God, and in what would probably be fair to say blasphemous ways throughout his early and middle career. So that's kind of the start. Kanye would eventually increase his fame by marrying Kim Kardashian, who obviously was already a mega superstar, and that family already, and so this created the power couple of Hollywood. They had a few children together, and early, you know, Kanye was bought into the Kardashian way of life. He praised his wife openly for her beauty and her features, if you know what I mean, and as a status symbol for himself. He saw it as the ultimate trophy to himself, I believe. And he was never bothered early on by her, the way she dressed, by the way she presented herself, which if you know the Kardashians, you know what I'm talking about. Not much modesty going on. By their persona, by their absolute desire for fame and fortune. And, you know, he wasn't even bothered by the fact that she had, I'll just be very vague here, very inappropriate content on the internet that initially had made her famous, how she got famous originally. That didn't bother him at all to marry her and to kind of go into that. Moving along, he began to, in the mid-2000s or the mid-2010s, he began to start having some very open anxiety problems. Famously started having public panic attacks and breakdowns, even one or two, stopping concerts right in the middle of the concerts, acting erratic, saying strange things. I think that was the Life of Pablo tour, if I remember correctly. And so he goes away for a while. He kind of lays low, and you don't hear from him for a little bit. And then as he begins to resurface and start working on the next project, he begins speaking in more conservative terms. You hear something different. You start to hear some conservative words and phrases and tropes. He even dons, you might remember, the red Make America Great Again hat. And boy, did he take it from all of his rap friends for that. He began to talk about the evils of society and be concerned now. He starts talking about being concerned with his wife's dress and her modesty and to worry about publicly about things that his children are exposed to. And he begins to say things against abortion, and he begins, he moves out to Wyoming. He says that he enjoys living out away from Hollywood and away from LA. And he has this huge, you know, he starts talking about needing to have land and move to Wyoming. And, he starts working on his next album, and it's called Yandy at the time. So Yandy being a combination of Yeezy, which is his nickname, and Gandhi, the spiritual leader of India a generation ago. And so right as he's working on this album called Yandy, he has this conversion experience that he says he is converted to Christianity, and he changes the album from Yandy to Jesus is King. Now, boy, Christians were excited. He surprise drops this album, Jesus is King, where he has recorded over the Yandy tracks with new lyrics and new production. And it is an overtly Christian album when this drops. And it's got gospel choir in it. And guys, I'll tell you, I've listened to it. It's not bad. It is not a bad album. It's clean. There's not a profanity in it. And it seems like an album from a man who wanted to honor the Lord with his talents and skills. So Jesus is King comes out. Things really start to pick up. He begins touring the nation with what he called a Sunday service, which was a gospel choir. And they would have, it was like a kind of like a traveling revival show. And they would have preachers pop in at each stop and preach. And often the guys who were preaching were preaching the gospel. So he was picking guys who were not bad, which is what you might expect in the situation. We were even being told, I remember the news going around, that there was a man who was discipling Kanye connected to the Master's Seminary, a John MacArthur connection there, who would have good theology and would be able to disciple Kanye. So at this point, things are at peak excitement. A billionaire celebrity who's married to Kim Kardashian has converted to Christ and is very public about it. Some are ready to give him the microphone. Others take a wait-and-see approach. I remember this time and how my sphere of people that I listened to were so divided on how to respond. And I think that there are many lessons now to be learned. So let me just, I think it's good to go ahead and tell how the story ends, which is with a little bit of sadness. It does not seem that Kanye today is a believer at all. So I want to say that as we go to the lessons, because that should not change the lessons learned at all. It should help us understand the lessons. So a couple of lessons from this time, put yourself in the time period where Kanye has declared himself to be a Christian. There are several wonderful fruits that are being shown. And yet there is a little bit of validity for pause. Okay. In that moment, what are some lessons? Number one, the Bible gives us some principles. Number one, I think we should always rejoice when someone comes to Jesus. Okay. In general, that should be our demeanor. Luke 15 tells three stories in a row called the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, or the prodigal son. And in the lost sheep, you hear this: "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." In the lost coin, we hear these words: "When she found it, she called together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents.'" And in the prodigal son, we hear the father say to the elder brother at the very end, he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and he is found." So, lesson: never be the person that throws a wet blanket on someone's salvation. Our general demeanor toward people claiming to have turned to Christ should be joy and reception, rather than meet them with instant skepticism and say that we really can't know anything until time passes. All right. If someone, whether they're famous or not, even if they've had a past that is pretty checkered, if they come and they say, "I declare Jesus is Lord, I believe, I want to follow him," do not meet them with a hefty bowl of, "Yeah, we'll see. We'll see." That's unhealthy to me. That's not right. And that's not how the Bible tends to present people responding to others' testimony of in Christ. We need to have joy and receive that with excitement. That's number one. Number two, I got three lessons for you. Number two, we recognize that there are false conversions. People do come to Jesus for the wrong reasons. People sign up and they didn't count the cost. They were swept up in emotionalism. The music was playing, the lights were flashing, the bass was pumping, and the speaker said, "If you don't want to go to hell, come here right now and walk this aisle." And you know, that's emotionalism. Or maybe none of that, and it's just what the parable of the sower described, where the seed did pop up, but it was choked out by persecution or by the stresses of the world, or it was snatched by the devil before it even took root. That bird picked up the seed real fast. We know this. We need to be aware of this. And it's a fact. Sometimes people do say that they are saved and they are lying, or they're mistaken, or they don't understand even what they've just said. Okay? We need to realize that's also a reality. But I'm going to temper that with that we don't need to let that reality jade us to the point where we don't trust people's testimony. I think you've gone to an unhealthy place. Again, if you let the abuses of something ruin the good for everybody else, if because you've been burned by a false conversion before, that every time someone then says, "I'm trusting in Jesus," that you're saying, "Well, you say that, but time will tell and we'll see. You may think that, but don't say that. Really don't even think it, but definitely don't say it. Just, it is true. Time will tell. That is true. Time always will tell. I mean, you do know a tree by its fruit. That's true. But at the moment of salvation, when someone mentions that they want to follow Christ, don't meet it with all of the negatives. Yes, there's going to be some time that's going to reveal things, but that'll take care of itself. That's not your job to stamp out the excitement as soon as it's popped up. Okay, that's number two. So we've said, always rejoice. We've said, number two, recognize that there are false conversions. Okay, and number three, here's where rubber meets road with today's lesson. In our joy, in our rightful joy, it is also not wise to give a new convert the microphone too quickly, especially one who has been accustomed to limelight and fame. All right, so 1 Timothy 3:6, talking about pastors contextually, says this. Paul says, a pastor must not be a recent convert, or he may be puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Why would it be wise that a new convert, someone who just came to Christianity, you know, a few months ago, why would it be wise that a new convert not be made a pastor quickly? Well, think about it. There's a lot of inherent respect that comes with the office of pastor. And that's not wrong. It should. There's a lot of respect that you'll gain in the eyes of people. When you stand on that stage and you stand behind the pulpit and you open God's word, people are listening. Families, you know, men who are older than you, men who have jobs, who are, you know, they're serious people in the world. They are sitting and listening to you. And we know ultimately that they're submitted to the authority of God's word. It's not a man, but as the man who is speaking for God in that moment, you do have a lot of inherent authority that you could have. And there's a lot of trust that you got to have in that, because it is a power that can be misused if your heart's not right. If you see that opportunity as a pastor in the pulpit as a way to spin it for your own gain, or a way to manipulate people for your purposes, oh boy. I mean, that's spiritual abuse. You're in a bad spot. That's dark. And so that's what Paul warns Timothy. Hey, look, don't get somebody who's just converted to Christ and then make them a pastor. The thought behind that is they're not ready for that kind of authority. They're not ready. They got a lot to learn. I mean, they're still learning. They're still babies in Christ. They're not ready to be the drill sergeant. They're not ready to be the shepherd. They just learned what it was not to get eaten by a wolf recently. So give them some time to grow. So if someone who has, let's go to the Kanye situation. If there is someone who has had a significant platform already and they come to Jesus, we should not instantly invite them to the big conference to speak or to our churches to preach. There needs to be some time to be discipled, to learn what walking with Christ looks like. There needs to be some time, here we go, sitting under the authority of a pastor or elder or mentor in the faith. It's a bad idea to launch out quickly with authority on something that's brand new to you. And that's what Kanye did. And not just what Kanye did, it's what the world wanted him to do. He immediately, upon his conversion that we now know was probably not true, he immediately became the leader of this Sunday service where traveling the country putting on revivals every Sunday in some kind of choir leader role. He should have been in church every Sunday, sitting with his family in the pew, listening to a man of God preach the word to him. That's what he should have done. He was given an open mic at Joel Osteen's church, which, by the way, it was cringeworthy. He was given dozens of major media interviews. You know, he's on all the talk show hosts, the late night shows. He's doing, you know, media spots and treated as if he is some kind of representative for Christians. His opinion was asked on the raging moral issues. Mr. Kanye West, what do you think about this topic? It's like he just got saved a few months ago, and he's now speaking for all Christians when there are believers and pastors and leaders who have been out there for years and years, and you never called them for their opinion. And so we've seen from the fruit that Kanye has displayed in recent years, and I'm not going to go into all of it. If you want to, you can. We see from the fruit in the last couple of years that it is almost certain that he was not converted. He has completely reverted to his old lifestyle before conversion. I pray that that's not true, by the way. I don't wish that upon him. I'm just telling you what is observable. He has completely reverted to his lifestyle before conversion, and he doesn't really talk about Christ at all. It's not a part of his life. Whereas his album Jesus is King had no profanity on it, he has returned to making secular rap music with his traditional amounts of profanity. He's also gotten into some dark friend groups. He's into some anti-Semitism lately, and it's not good. It's not good. So, in conclusion, a lesson for when someone converts: always be excited, but don't make them a teacher right away. If they are truly in Christ, they will not be offended to humble themselves and learn from other believers before they earn the privilege of being a public figure. When you come to Christ, you do so as a babe. When you come to Christ, doesn't matter how old you are, you come to Christ as a new believer, as a baby, an infant in Christ. And as we've been saying in our series at church, the goal is that you wouldn't stay there. But you are an infant at first, and there's a time to humble yourself and learn from other people and say, you know, maybe I shouldn't be the public figure for Christians and be a Christian celebrity right now. I think Kanye needed someone to tell him that, and maybe no one could tell him that. But being thrust out too quickly as this exemplar of what it is to be a Christian, and it didn't help the case. What he needed to do was to quietly learn and to submit himself to a man of God, even a couple that would be willing to sit down and talk with his wife and disciple them in the faith. And it seems like very little of that happened, and maybe that's why we see what we saw. But I wanted to come through and speak on this because it's important that we never lose the joy when someone converts. We don't want to pretend that false conversions are not true, that people don't lie and make things up. But we also, when someone does come to faith, want to say, hey, let's go through a little time of growing. And in time we'll hand you the microphone. But you need to be tested first. You need to see what it's like to walk with the Lord and to humbly see from other godly men and women what it looks like to walk with the Lord. So that's my thought today as we kind of reflect on the Kanye thing from a few years ago, because, man, it was raging. That was in the news. And then now it's just like no one really talks about it. What happened to Kanye? No, wasn't he a Christian? You know, so I just wanted to come through and do a little follow up on that, and hopefully it helped you think through what to do when a celebrity converts, or when anyone converts to Christ, what our mindset should be. Hope this was a good help for you today. Come see us at Kirby Woods, and we're here every Sunday at 10:30 Central Time. So watch us online if you're afar. Check out our podcast or our YouTube channel. Like, follow, rate, review, be kind, give us all the love. It helps Kirby Woods go farther on our media channels. So share this or like this wherever you are. God bless. Hope you guys have a great week. Bye.